It used to be that a future spouse was found at church or at school. Now many are finding love by swiping through dozens of faces on a smartphone.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll speak with relationship coaches who will give us more insight on this social phenomenon. Join us.
Once stigmatized as a venue for the desperate, online dating has become a normal part of the dating game. A recent survey by Pew Research says that 30% of U.S. adults say they have used a dating site or app in the past year.
Here to discuss this growing trend is Dr. John and April Nixon, relationship coaches who host a YouTube podcast called Just John and April. Dr. John Nixon is lead pastor for the Tacoma Park Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And April Nixon is a middle school teacher for the Spencerville Academy, Adventist Academy, actually. And they have been married for 20 years and have two teenage children. And just before I officially welcome them, I have to say they've just taken over the column that we wrote in Message Magazine for 21 years. So break a leg, John and April, we are so happy for you. Welcome, John and April, to Real Family Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
So let's get right to it. In a recent article you guys authored, actually your first column, you say that no single event has diluted the negative stigma of online dating quite like the coronavirus pandemic. Wow. What do you mean by this statement? And is the stigma of online dating really gone? What do you say?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think it's all the way gone. No. I think there's something in our church as Christians, there's something about this idea of using your device to meet someone mm-hmm. that feels weird. And for some reason, using any kind of technology for that, it feels like there's something wrong with it. But now that we're going through this pandemic and that's all we're doing, now that everything is online, all of our meetings and our school and everything, it's like for the first time, it feels okay to actually do online dating too. So it feels like it's helped, but it definitely, I don't think it's taken away the stigma altogether.
No, I agree. I think that sometimes we put God in a box and say he can only find your spouse at church
or
at some kind of event like that.
Right.
So, you know, we really think that this is a way that you can definitely find your spouse, even, yeah. you know,
I agree.
In church.
Yeah, you know? That's true, too.
If you're in church.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it used to be difficult for me to accept it, even when I heard young adults say that they were trying online dating or, you know, it sounded really weird. But the point that you just made is a really good one. I mean, now we're doing everything online. So, yeah, it does seem like, okay, why not meet someone? But another thing that I think I have become a little more open to it is the fact that it's not like you would be learning any less by meeting someone online than you would if you met them in church or at school.
In fact,
April said earlier, you know, you don't know someone until you know them. So when you meet somebody for the first time, they're a stranger, and they're a stranger, right. whether you met them at church or online or whatever. So I think in some ways we have to probably start thinking of online dating as just another medium to meet people. It's mm-hmm. a way to meet a person. It's mm-hmm. not the thing, you know, you're not going to spend your whole life online. Well, at least you hope not.
Right.
You know, I don't think people get married and stay apart and just stay married online. I think at some point you're expecting you're going to have some face-to-face time. It seems like the online part is simply the way that you actually start, the initiation part of it. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think we see online dating or people online as kind of crazies.
Yes, that's true.
Right. So right. it's like, oh no, you meet somebody online, they're gonna, you know, hurt you.
Oh, they're gonna stalk you or something
right,
like that. Yeah.
Right. But they're regular people just like you are going on trying to find somebody to to start a relationship with.
That's true.
And not to say that they're not crazies online. That you
be careful about.
That's true. There are crazies.
But they're crazies.
And in
person. They're crazies everywhere. And there's something that you said a little while ago that I found very interesting. And that is, well, you know, you're not going to live your lives online. So you're not going to have an artificial intelligence marriage. But you can, in fact, meet people there. So an even bigger question you ask in your column is, does online dating go against God's word? What do you say to that?
I would say no. I think there are aspects of any kind of online medium that at first feel like they're scary. And I'll put it to you this way. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as online. And then all of a sudden there was. And the biggest reason to go online was actually for pornography. Mm. And so I started to associate, like many people did, this negative stigma with online, that online sort of automatically meant you had to be doing something bad or nefarious or something like that, something sneaky you're doing at least.
That's a good point.
And so for me, that's the part that feels like if a person wants to say it goes against God's word, obviously if you're going on for that reason, yes. But I don't think the fact that it's online in and of itself makes it bad. I think the way you use it is really what's key in that situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate that distinction that you made. First of all, I just have to call you out a little bit because you said when you were a kid, there was no online. You're dating yourself, Pastor Nixon.
There was when I was young still, but when I was a little kid, there was no, everything was analog. Yeah.
So that was a little funny, but it's very true. There's something else too, as you bring up that point, that I think a lot of people are afraid that the people who are online are just desperate people, that they're not really real people. So what advice would you give to a young adult who is thinking, maybe this is a viable option, but can they really find someone that's viable out there on the online apps?
Yeah, I would say measure your expectations.
Yeah, and I would say just go in and be careful.
Right.
You know, make sure that you are following all the rules.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
There's important things to think about, I think, when you're meeting somebody online. You don't want to give them too much information about yourself right up front.
Right,
You want to make sure that there's sort of an equal exchange of information. You're not sharing, and they're holding back and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There is a thing called catfishing where you can go online thinking someone looks a certain way or they are a certain person, and then when you finally meet them, they're totally different. So that is a thing.
Yeah.
But you just have to know, and there's some things you can actually look up online, just Google it. They'll give you some best practices. But I think you should measure your expectations. There are algorithms that are used in some of these online dating apps that are supposed to make it so that you can find compatibility easier. Mm-hmm. But what we always say is that's a computer. And what the computer can do is match up qualities, but it cannot do the rest of the work for you. You still have to relate to this person. There's still a bunch of work to do after you meet them. So the computer might do a good job of saying you're compatible with this kind of person. That doesn't automatically mean it's going to work. So we would say to you, you know, measure your expectations. Don't go in thinking this is the end all be all. Mm-hmm. Some people do use this as a last resort because they've gone years without having any kind of real dating life, and they want to get married or something. And they say, well, let me try this. Okay. And they think it's going to solve it because it gives you so many promises. Mm-hmm. But don't assume that it's just going to work just because. There is some work to do still to relate to a person after you've met them through online dating.
Yeah, and don't go in desperate. Yeah, I think when you go in desperate, you might settle or do things that you shouldn't do because you're trying to hurry up and get somebody.
Exactly. Yes.
That's a good point.
You're just taking your time. Time always tells.
It does.
Time always tells. Yeah. After a short break, we will talk more with John and April. Stay with us.
We're back to talk more with John and April Nixon about the social phenomenon of online dating.
You use the word social as an acronym to help people feel more comfortable and remain safe with online dating. It's social, S-O-C-I-A-L. Please tell us what it stands for as we go through each letter of your acronym. So let's begin with S. Sneak peek. Tell us about that.
Sneak peek. This is kind of a good one, I think.
It is, because you can, you know, you can get a sneak peek of whoever you're talking to online. You know, you can go on and look at their social media profile. You can kind of see if they are, you know, legit in a way.
Yeah. You can also find out some, you know, good things like about their hobbies and what they like and everything. You can get a kind of an idea of what people are like. Mm-hmm. You do have to make sure, though, that you remember that most people are posting online the best of themselves.
Right.
So you're not going to get, you know, that this guy gets angry easily or that she has a short temper or she's not patient. You're not going to find that out online, but you can find some other things out, and it's kind of nice. It's kind of like online Joshua and Caleb or something.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you're searching out the promised land.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, look, but the truth is you may not get that if you meet someone in person.
You're right.
You're not going to find out if they have a bad temper or, you know, they don't like talking to people in the morning. So, you know, so I like that. I like the sneak peek thing. All right. How about, online relationship potential. What does that mean?
The offline relationship potential
offline.
Is that offline or
online? You potentially end up not virtual anymore. I mean, there's a chance that you would actually be able to meet up, you know, in person once you feel comfortable. And that can transfer from virtual to a face-to-face relationship.
Yeah.
So that there is a potential for that.
So I guess that one we're really focusing on the fact that what we said in the first segment, really, online dating does not stay online the whole time.
Exactly.
You know, the reason you're doing it online is to get it going. But the whole point of it is just to get to know someone so that you can actually do something with them in the real world. It's not meant to stay virtual.
All right. So share with us, like, do you know anyone that this has actually worked for? Been a success?
Several couples actually we've worked with. They've met online and they're married now, actually, kids.
We did their premarital counseling. Yeah. We did their weddings and everything. I can think of three couples here recently off the top of my head who are still married and have children, like April said. The funny thing is, the very first couple that we had as an online couple, they were older and they actually were not, they didn't fit the description at all of what you would think for an online dating couple. They were both in their late 60s, I think, and much older than we were.
Yeah.
And they met online and they are probably married for 7 or 8 years now. They're doing great. They're wonderful, beautiful couple.
Is awesome. That's amazing. And then you mentioned a younger couple, someone who, you know, a couple that had children. So this is good. This is good news for someone out there that might be listening and maybe considering online dating. All right. How about, what's the next letter?
No, I really want to stay with this because, you know, I'm intrigued. You said people in their 60s started online dating. You know,
I like that.
People in their 60s can't even get on
each of them were married previously and their spouses passed away. They were intrigued with the idea. And when they both saw that the other was Seventh-day Adventist, they said, wow. And they both felt more comfortable because the people, you don't have to publish your religion, but they both did because they wanted that to be out front. And when they saw that, they said, well, let's just try it. Both of them were scared to do it. But when they saw that they had that in common, they went and did it and they couldn't believe it. They hit it off their very first date.
And that's what we notice about these couples that have met online. They both were kind of afraid to do that.
Yes.
And they stepped out, and usually it was a friend who convinced them.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, to take that step and try it out, and it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So, the couples who are doing it, because now that you stayed with this, I want to stay with it. They at what point would you say they had a real date? You know, like
how long into the online? Yes.
Right. I don't know about the first couple.
I don't know about the first couple, but the couple that we were talking about, the younger couple, I think it was a couple of months.
Before
they ended up meeting up.
And I remember they shared a story with us that the first time that they were going to meet, they set it up to be at a very public place where each one of them wanted to be able to see the other person before they got to the place that they were actually meeting. So they set it up so that wherever you had to walk from, you could see from across the way, does that person actually look like their profile picture? And they make a joke about it. They talked about it. And they said their very first time they were supposed to meet, something happened and they I don't remember what happened, but they didn't actually meet up that first time. So they both had cold feet. And then they said, okay, let's try it again. And right. then they did it. So they were so nervous.
Yeah.
But the first time they even decided to meet, it didn't work out. And they did it later. And they're glad that they did it because they're obviously married and happy.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Convenient interaction. C.
Well, you know, I mean, especially with, I think young people now even more, they're so busy.
Yeah.
You know, they're into their careers. They have all kind of stuff going on. So it really is convenient to be able to just, you know, hop on your computer.
Right. Or on your cell phone.
Or your cell phone,
shoot a text.
While you're going.
Exactly.
And shoot a text. Exactly. Or, you know, FaceTime in the car while you're driving. I mean, they're, so it really is more convenient than having to set up dates and all, you know, that whole process when you're trying to get to know somebody.
Yeah. And a lot of our younger couples say this, they say, I'm really too busy to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And we say, do you want to be happy? But seriously, you know, I don't think you're too busy for that. You can actually take the time for it, but this allows you to be busy and still mm-hmm. find somebody. I think the process of weeding out the bad ones from the good ones takes too long in the real world mm-hmm. because you have to set up dates and do all that stuff. And this way you can get a little bit easier weeding out process just by doing it online. So it's kind of convenient.
Right.
That's such an amazing point. And also the fact that you get to talk more, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have a date, mm-hmm. you might go to dinner and then, like, you know, you've said it's a little awkward.
Right.
Or sometimes people may go to a concert or something and you're really not talking. So this way you're actually communicating about yourself with the person. So that's a really good point.
Well, what it sounds like is that you're making strides, even though you're not face to face, you're still taking advantage of the time and you don't even have to leave the comfort of your home. You know, so you can interact. You can interact as much as you need to until you feel comfortable enough to in fact
meet
up in person. So that's kind of convenient, I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
I
so
agree.
When we come back from a short break, the Nixons will continue sharing some tips to consider before cybering into online dating. Stay with us.
We've been talking with relationship coaches John and April Nixon. They will continue sharing the acronym SOCIAL, S-O-C-I-A-L. That could help someone feel more comfortable about the online dating world. So let's continue with the I, increases communication. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we were kind of, I think you really alluded to it in the last segment, that there are times when you set up a date, and I think dating in real life is more about the activity than the interaction. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a mistake that we make. And maybe it's because we're trying to impress each other. If I'm the one setting up the date, I want to show this new person that I have the ability to plan something, or maybe I want to spend some money on them or something like that. And oftentimes, the kind of activity that I choose is not really communication friendly. So at the end of the date, you may have, you know, done bumper cars or hit batting cages or whatever it is you do, but at the end, you really didn't talk.
Right.
So the online thing really takes away, I think, every other thing. There's nothing else to do. So now you just talk to each other.
Yeah, and I think it helps you to get to know each other a little bit faster, actually.
Maybe.
And a little bit more, because you begin to talk about things like your past and maybe your job or, you know, how you grew up and things like that a little bit faster, because you have your, that's what you do. That's all you're doing is talking.
It's like once you strip away all the extra stuff, all that's left to do is talk.
Things,
So it sounds like to me that your online dating is like bare bones relationship. You know, you're right down to brass tacks. There's no frills. There's no makeup. It's what you see is what you get.
Exactly.
And it's live and it's now. And perhaps just the fact that you have a little distance between you, you're not actually in front of each other. You might be more willing to share of yourself than if you were in front of each other in person.
The other thing that I'm thinking is that maybe like offline dating can take a few cues from online dating. Because I love the fact that you guys draw out the point that we go out of our way to plan these elaborate dates to prove something. But what's most important is that we're really talking to each other about ourselves and who we are. And, yes. you know, as you guys do a lot of marriage counseling and premarital, and you've recognized that one of the biggest issues that couples deal with is something you said at the very beginning about the fact that we're strangers. People get married and they're kind of like saying, I don't really know this person.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. It's, like, it's like they never got to that conversation. You know, it's like right. buying a chest of drawers and you never opened all the drawers to find out what was in it. You know, so when you're online, you start exploring every drawer, you know, and you go every which way. So let's go to the next one. And yeah. and the next one is assuages, attraction, distraction.
A. That's the A.
Assuages, attraction,
yes.
distraction. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So this is interesting. Some studies have shown this, that when we interact in person, as you can see, my wife is very beautiful. It is harder, I think, for me to stay focused on who she is and maybe who she is on the inside sometimes, especially initially, because I'm so attracted to her physically. And so they show, some of the studies show that not having to worry about all of the, you know, trappings of the physical attraction, sometimes make it so that you can look past the superficial and mm-hmm. see the person for who they are on the inside.
And some people are able to, like, you know, go all in with kind of showing who they are a little bit easier, yeah. you know, because there's no, especially if you have some physical things about you that you're self-conscious about, mm-hmm. you might not, you know, feel comfortable just coming right out and talking and being open. Mm-hmm. But when you're kind of behind a camera or behind a phone,
yeah,
you're kind of free to be who you are right off
yeah.
without that getting in the way.
Yes.
You know, without worrying about, are they thinking about, are they seeing that my shirt is kind of, you know, my stomach is coming out a little bit, you know.
April also noticed, I think you read in one of the articles that when you are online, a lot of times it's you don't have time to do things like go and put on makeup or right. go and change your clothes right. or whatever. It may be a phone call that you're having with this person, or it could be a face-to-face, you know, a FaceTime type call or something. Mm-hmm. But because you don't have that time to do that, you're not putting in as much effort as you would normally do in a dating online, in-person dating type situation.
Right, right. If you're getting called FaceTime and you have to answer that right then, you're not going to not answer it to go put on makeup real quick.
Right, exactly. Well, sometimes it takes away that part and it makes it easier to yeah. really, you know, you look past all of that beauty to see the other beauty that's on the inside.
The
you know?
Real beauty.
The real beauty.
The one that doesn't right? go right. away because, you know, beauty is skin deep. Yeah, if all we're talking about is superficial. So let's go sure. to the last one. It's the L, lowers anxiety. Tell us about that lowering of anxiety. And we have a very short.
Well, we find this is really true for certain personality types, especially. Mm-hmm. And April kind of alluded to it a second ago. I am a very outgoing sort of extroverted person. And so for me, it's never a problem. But for someone who doesn't like crowds, for instance, like April, mm-hmm. April is an introvert.
I'm opposite of John.
Exactly. Some of these kinds of things are actually a lot easier for her to do because we're not physically in each other's presence. I right. mean, it's a, there's the barrier, I guess, mm-hmm. or the buffer of yes. the phone or the computer yes. screen. And so for a lot of people, it lowers the anxiety of dating and getting to know people. So it's a positive.
That makes a lot of sense.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Hey man.
Unfortunately, the time goes by so fast. We'll have to have
it really does.
We'll have to have you again.
Thank you, Dr. John and April Nixon, for joining us today.
We believe that whether you meet your future mate in church or online, getting premarital counseling or pre-engagement counseling with your pastor or Christian counselor is a must.
To be sure, when it comes to matters of the heart, the Bible prompts us to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What a wonderful message. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.